Thank you so much, Mr. President. During this interim, there are a lot of issues that people in my district have had to deal with. First, it started off whether or not our children in our unaccredited school districts would have an opportunity to have a better education. For the last 3 years, we have been debating education policy and trying to seek the careful balance to allow young people who live many, many times in impoverished areas. Well, we heard from the Board of Education and we heard from individuals throughout the state who said that the bill that many of us in this chamber worked very, very hard on basically was a voucher bill, which is the first we ever heard of that. We also heard during the interim that this legislation that we've worked on for 3 years would go absolutely nowhere. And then I started getting phone calls and emails from my constituents, parents, hearing from children. Perhaps some of you have read the articles about children who are depressed because they are labeled of not achieving anything because they are in substandard environments intellectually. It is a crying shame that Democrats and Republicans can come together and you have a cowardice governor who cannot put his rule, as my first grade teacher, Anna Louise Larson, used to say, he couldn't find the time to roll up his sleeves and do the hard work and put some elbow grease into it. That's what Anna Louise Larson, my first grade teacher, used to say. Put some elbow grease into it. Take some time to figure out what is the best policy to move forward. In these phone calls that I received, the messages on Facebook and on Twitter, children felt trapped. They feel trapped. You know, let's just tell the truth. They felt enslaved. They feel enslaved. Can you ever imagine for just a moment what it's like to be enslaved, having people control your movements, what you say, what you do, and to know that people came together from throughout the state with varied interests, rural and urban, black and white, and they produced a product and delivered it 2 years in a row. And our governor, who has served not only in this body, but has served as our attorney general, and now our governor, decided to do the coward thing, which is to do nothing. Just sign a veto letter, make claims that are untrue, disregard the hard work of individuals both in the House and the Senate. Meanwhile, there are children who are suffering. I've never seen anything like this before. I thought when the state of Missouri, wherever we may be and there is a crisis, that the work of this body is the most important thing that happens. When we put aside all of our personal philosophies and our agenda and we work to benefit the people who have no voice, the people who don't have the basic opportunity to get an education that is of quality and gives them a pathway to success. What we have been fighting over this summer is whether or not the 1993 statute can be in effect. In 2013, the Missouri Supreme Court said without any barriers whatsoever, children may transfer from an unaccredited school district. And you don't get to pick and choose. The court, the opinion of the court, they didn't say you get to pick and choose, or Education Plus says you can go to Pattonville, or you can go to Clayton, or you can go to Rockwood. Wherever the parent decides to send their children, that is where these children may go. That is the 1993 law. And so I wanted to raise that point and also raise all the other citizen inequalities that exist in my district. So as children have been afraid to go to school because they feel as though they've been bullied, At the same time, there are people in Ferguson who still have not had any results. Now, we had an opportunity at the end of session this year to pass a deadly force bill. But again, personal philosophies and agendas got in the way, and we cannot deliver something that would have truly meant something for the people who are on the ground every single day. And yes, it's great that we passed Senate Bill 5, but it's not the reason why Michael Brown died. It's not the reason why there are young men and women who are being killed every single day by police officers. It doesn't resolve that issue. And so when we had the opportunity in the last week of session to get to that sweet spot where Democrats and Republicans came together, personal philosophies, agendas came before the people. Came before the people, right? You know, I thought the voice of the people was supposed to reign supreme. You know, we have been talking about Black Lives Matter, and then we have another issue. It's called All Lives Matter, right? So if all lives mattered, the 48,000 tons of uranium, plutonium, benzene, thorium in the Bridgeton landfill, if all lives mattered, there would be people in this chamber wondering why independent scientists said that St. Louis is about to be Chernobyl. Do you guys know about Chernobyl? Do you know about Fukushima? So a long time ago, our department, our U.S. Department of Energy, decided to work with Mallinckrodt to make sure that we had a free society and government. And so we were creating this atomic nuclear bomb, and we were getting Belgium, Congo uranium. It's like the strongest uranium you can find in the world, 235, 238 uranium. And we took the ore from Africa, we brought it to St. Louis, and we created what many people know as the Manhattan Project. And so what came of this is we produced a lot, we manufactured uranium to the point where it was smoother than powdered sugar. Smoother than powdered sugar. Which means when we were going to do something to protect our country, we were going to be prepared. But here's the problem. The problem is that we never used that uranium. I don't know if you know this or not, but uranium has a half-life of 1,000 years. Uranium was poured in the Bridgeton landfill. Uranium was poured in the creek of Coldwater Creek, and we just found out recently that uranium was also poured where the St. Louis County Board of Elections is. I have an entire list of people, employees, at the St. Louis County Board of Elections who have died in the last 15 years of cancer. Not just any cancer, the most rare cancers. There are children who are born in my district without eyeballs. There are children who are born in my district with double sets of teeth. There are fathers who are dying of cancer at 29 years old. Children with brain cancer happens 300 times more. Children with brain cancer happens 300 times more in Bridgeton. 300 times. Not the chance of, I'm not saying the chance of happening is 300 times greater. What is actually happening is that children have brain tumors. Children have brain cancer. The number of incidences of children with autism has increased extraordinarily. If you look at the maps and you look at the clusters of people who have thyroid cancer, it's obvious that something happened a long time ago. So then I found out about a place called Robertson, Missouri. Didn't know about Robertson, Missouri until I went to Rosh Hashanah with one of my constituents. And there was a black woman who was sitting at the table who was saying, you know, I come from Robertson, Missouri. And I'm like, what is Robertson? You know that little area that's north of the airport, right off of Fifi Road? It's neighboring Hazelwood now. It's Hazelwood. And there was an expansion. Well, it turns out in 1953, one of the Mallinckrodt trucks spilled over. And you had all of this uranium, purified uranium, just on the ground, and they were spraying it. You can look at the newspaper articles. They just sprayed it down. But here's the thing about uranium. It has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. Where it went? Into the ground in Robertson, Missouri. So then children started getting sick. In 1972, I want to say, I may be wrong, but 1970s, the high school closed. The high school closed. Kids were getting sick. Then the houses were being bought out. People wondered, why are they buying out houses in Robertson, Missouri? Because there was a spill with the most purified uranium in the world. There's a 42-year-old woman right now who has one of the most aggressive breast cancers that you can ever imagine. The cousin of the woman who I was sitting with at Rosh Hashanah. And she said she never knew of anything like this. No one ever had cancer in the family. What we have learned about this uranium and plutonium and benzene and thorium and their daughters, what we have learned is that it becomes generational. So you literally, I'm running into families at this point who have sisters and brothers and children, fathers, mothers, all of these individuals are getting some type of aggressive cancer. And they're the rare cancers. There's one cancer, appendix cancer. A doctor says that you're only supposed to have in the region of St. Louis, region, 12 cases. In one cluster in North County, we have 44 cases of appendix cancer. 44 cases. 44. The Attorney General, who was formerly a member of this body, put together a report talking about the Bridgeton landfill. And in a portion of it, it says that we Missourians have between 3 to 6 months before the fire meets the uranium, meets the benzene, thorium, and everything else, the radium, all in there, right? So let me just tell you, I'm not a scientist, but I talk to scientists, right? So even when steam meets up with a particle and it becomes airborne, you have radioactive waste in the air. Now, if we have 3 to 6 months to deal with the catastrophe that's about to happen, you would think that all lives matter, huh? I guess you would think all lives matter. If all lives matter, then the mothers that I talk to and listen to crying every single day, they would have more attention. You know, let me also tell you, in 1996, Kit Bond wrote a letter to the Pentagon, and he said there are over 100 sites throughout St. Louis that have this radioactive waste. I told you earlier that uranium has a half-life of 1,000 years. We're between 50 and 70 years right now. And until you get to that half-life, it only gets more and more potent. This is a national security issue, if you haven't guessed it yet. It's a national security issue. You know why? Any single person who chooses or group of people who say, let's attack American citizens, all you have to do is hijack a plane and nosedive into the right place at Bridgeton Landfill. The EPA doesn't want to deal with this because they were only created after the Manhattan Project. We have people who can die. I'm sure the senator from the second is very familiar with Weldon Springs, which was remediated some time ago. And there are sites like this all over St. Louis, even in Jefferson County. There are sites where there was uranium poured. Now, we haven't responded adequately to education for children. We haven't responded adequately for people who live in and around Ferguson. I'm wondering what my colleagues in the General Assembly are going to do when you have 48,000 tons of uranium up in smoke in the air, because there's a fire that exists today. There is a fire You know, you look at the pictures from the Maplewood Library files, and it shows the landfill where the St. Louis County Board of Elections is. And you see all of these Mallinckrodt drums, and they used to just dump some of their old train pieces in this dump. You can look at the pictures. Maplewood Library has them. You can look them up if you want to. And so what's interesting is that no one knew. Our county executive didn't know. He didn't know the list of people who've died. And I can go through this list of people who have died who have worked in the St. Louis County Board of Elections, one of which I knew, one of the individuals I knew. She's an amazing woman. She was a very helpful woman, very helpful. And then you look at the reports from East West Gateway back in the 90s, and the only thing that they treated that site for was dioxin. They didn't take out any of the pieces of the railroad or whatever Mallinckrodt was pouring into there, that landfill, along with the drums. They didn't take that out. They didn't take those items out. If you look at how the Metrolink was structured, it actually goes up in the air. It goes out and up through, past the St. Louis County Board of Elections. There are literally over 8 people who work in St. Louis County Election Board right now, who used to work in the St. Louis County Board of Elections, who have died. I have constituents who have worked at the St. Louis County Board of Elections. I have a former intern who worked at the St. Louis County Board of Elections. Knowing that we have a two-pronged problem here, I think we should be calling a state of emergency. It's interesting to note, when our governor was the attorney general, he sued Republic Services. And some of the information that I've received so far is that the original fine was about $100,000. And somehow that was dwindled down to perhaps less than $10,000. I wonder how that happened. How many business leaders, how many developers, the developers who created the Soonan Business Park, THJ, some of the rest of them, how many of them knew that the St. Louis County Board of Elections was sitting on top of a radioactive landfill? You know, down from the landfill, you have Deer Creek, and you have parks. There are a couple of Superfunds that are a few miles away that have been remediated by the Corps of Engineers or the EPA. But the one thing you need to understand, and again, I'm not a scientist, I just know a lot of them. But when you manufacture uranium to the point where it's finer than powdered sugar, its mobility is aggressive. Just look at the rain that we've gotten. Imagine the groundwater. And oh, by the way, if you're in North County, you have 2 water intake centers. Well, here's what we've discovered about radioactive chemicals. There's an example in Texas where in water there's radioactive waste, and it can seep through the metal and go to the groundwater. If that can happen from the inside of a pipe, imagine what is happening from the outside of a pipe that gives us our daily water that we drink, that your children drink, that the children in my district drink. We wonder why children have problems trying to get educated. We wonder why we're paying so much in medical care. Maybe the reason why we're paying so much is because we have all of this radioactive waste that is in our groundwater. And that's just what was mixed in the soil. What we need to be concerned about as a state, because again, I've said this time and time again, what happens in St. Louis happens to the whole state, all right? Let's have another Michael Brown. Let's just have one more and see how it impacts the state. Let's have more unaccredited school districts and let's see how it impacts the state. If you have a crisis with 48,000 tons of the most potent uranium in your backyard, I want you to talk to those mothers. I want you to see those mothers and hear their voices and see the tears that come from their eyes. The ones who live in Spanish Village. Oh, and by the way, I was at Spanish Village just last week. One of my firefighters said, look, I want you to find, I was on the phone with him. He was in St. Charles. He said, I want you to find a puddle. And I said, what, a puddle? Why do you want me to look for a puddle? Find a puddle. So I went to go find a puddle. Just rained the day before. And I said, okay, I found a puddle. I found a few puddles. And he says, do you see bubbles coming up? Bubbles? What do you mean bubbles? And I look down, and I actually see bubbles coming up from the asphalt. You know what that is? It's methane. It's methane. So the mommies who live at Spanish Village, right underneath them, coming up through their homes, is methane. So we already know that Governor Nixon is a coward. We already know that he has no ability to affect change already. He has no scruples at all. None. He's probably one of the most pathetic governors I will ever know. And I halfway questioned Holden. Holden's the good guy. But Governor Jay Nixon is in the pits. You know why? Because children are still in failed schools. And he has no plan. I don't know who was at the budget committee, the joint budget committee, and they asked, you know, one of the Education Plus folks, do you have a plan? And they said, no, we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. What? I heard the governor said that we have a deal. There's no deal. There's no law that restricts a school district from defining what its tuition is going to be. It's actually outlined in the statute. If we're sitting on the 1993 law, children have a right to go to any school they deem fit. And again, the Missouri Supreme Court supported that. Every child has a right to freedom. You know, it reminds me of slavery. I love these elitists. There are a lot of elitists in my own party who think the only way to recover children who are struggling is to provide early education opportunities. That's a no-brainer. That's low-hanging fruit. Duh. What I care about, what is essential for children who live in urban areas, is to have some kind of stopgap in middle school and in high school. What, are you just going to leave them open for the pipeline to prison? Oh, it sounds like slavery. Let's control the minds of these children and the movement of these children. Slavery. Slavery. Let's say it together. Slavery. Intellectual slavery. That is what our governor, and at this point, the AFL-CIO, with their COPE vote, has allowed to happen, is to allow children to live in slavery while they're trying to get an education. Let me also tell you what I went through this summer. There was an article that was posted on Facebook, some labor Facebook page. And, you know, I don't mind when people agree or disagree, but don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect this office, just like I won't disrespect you, right? So these labor individuals, one wearing blackface, decided to start calling me out of my name. These are labor people. Now, I'm 100% labor. They called me the C word. They called me the B word. Had nothing to do with my education policy. Had everything to do with Ferguson. Now, I'm not a betting person, but I'm kind of thinking, was it really smart for a group that you have aligned yourself with for 11 years, is it really wise for them to start calling you names in a public forum for an issue that has nothing to do with what they care about? So I started investigating what union they came from. Teamsters, 688. IBEW, Local 1, Steelworkers, Local 36. And oh, by the way, my favorite guy, the one in blackface, Mr. Union, he said he's a proud union member. He's a proud union member. He was dressed up in blackface like he was Don King, and his wife for Halloween had stains of blood on her shirt like Don King was supposed to beat her up or something. That's Mr. Union for ya. That's Mr. Union. And let me just tell you, I want to tell you the next story. So the truckers at Republic Services, they're Teamsters, right? Teamsters probably have some level of cancer because they're working at the Bridgeton landfill. They're exposed to it. When I go down to the Bridgeton landfill, no one is wearing anything over their noses or their mouths. No one is wearing anything, right? And there are other labor groups that say, hey, let's just build on top of this landfill that has 48,000 tons of uranium in it, not thinking that their own members' lives are at risk. I thought that labor cared about OSHA. That's what I thought all these years. I thought the labor unions cared about OSHA. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't, because you know what? These Teamsters are living in fear for their lives. They are living in fear. There's another person who I know who formerly worked for Republic Services said, I used to train these guys. I'm listening to these guys. They're scared to death, Maria. They're scared. And then you have other tradesmen who say, let's just build on top of it. Well, if you know that uranium is mobile, highly mobile, you can't just dump stuff over it because it's in our groundwater. So I'm right now, I've had a very long summer. I have people who are about to die. I have people who have died. I do have people, you know, in 6 weeks, I had 5 people die in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks. And they all lived in Bridgeton. 6 weeks because of one of these rare cancers. Here's my question. Hey, Governor, are you going to let these people die just like you're intellectually letting these children die in Normandy and Riverview Gardens? Are you going to let them die? Are you going to show up 15 days late like you did in Ferguson? When we're exposed to 48,000 tons of uranium in the air? You're going to show up late to that too? Don't let me even go through the Ferguson Commission report. I've gone through this. It's a pitiful excuse. Bells and whistles at the very beginning of it. Bells and whistles. And then his agenda is in this. It's interesting. So the first thing that they said they needed to do at the Ferguson Commission is deadly force. Deadly force. Well, you know what? We were a week away from deadly force. And people on both sides of the aisle said, we're not going to care about the interests of people in Ferguson and around Ferguson. We don't care that the U.S. Supreme Court changed the law in 1985 and then again in 1989. Is a bill that we were just inches away from passing. And instead, we decided to let our personal agendas, even knowing that the governor was going to veto the bill, the right to work bill, we went forward and ignored the people of my district. So here's your third opportunity, y'all. Here's your third opportunity. 48,000 tons of uranium 3 to 6 months away from a fire, and it's all going to be airborne. Are you going to let my people die? If all lives matter, here's your test. If all lives matter, you're going to do something instead of being like our lame duck governor. It was fascinating listening to him the other day. We're not going to let this go. We're not going to let this go. He sounded like Truman when he wrote The Freedom from Fear. He sounded like Lyndon B. Johnson when he said, we're going to do this Kerner Commission. 1968, 47 years later, nothing is done. We already know that our governor historically does not get engaged and legislative acts. We know that. And so he says, we're not going to drop the ball. We're not going to drop the ball. After 30 years of serving in government, in Missouri government, really? Do you think that we are going to trust anything that you say or do, Governor Nixon? Because you have not failed just once. You have not failed just twice. But on my record, in my district, you have failed 3 times, Governor Nixon. 3 times you have failed. The people that you represent. I want you to look in the eyes of these mothers who are crying. Look in the eyes of these children with brain tumors, with brain cancer, with leukemia, with thyroid cancer, with appendix cancer, and you tell them in their face that they do not matter. You tell them that, Governor Nixon. You have 1 year for your legacy to change. 1 year. Right now, your legacy says that you're the most pitiful governor we've ever had. And yes, Democrat saying it to a Democrat. Absolutely. I want to see if you are going to allow more people to die. All of these citizen inequalities, all of these citizen inequities, inequities, intellectual inequity, environmental inequity, economic inequity. Oh, by the way, did you guys see that one of the agenda items in the Ferguson report dealt with low-income housing, ownership of housing? Why would anyone want to own a home on top of uranium? You tell me that. Are you going to move them to North County? You know, the big dream when you were an African American in St. Louis City is to move to St. Louis County. That was the big dream, the big hope, to own your own home. Now people are finding out those homes that they moved into, underneath them they have radon coming up, methane coming up. They have uranium, the most potent uranium, the most potent uranium in the world. Most of the production for the Manhattan Project was done right here in Missouri, specifically in the St. Louis region. I am asking all of you, instead of ignoring my district yet once again, because this next one is going to be a big blow up. Literally. Literally. How many thousands of people do you want to see die? You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. I want to see who is going to respond. And you know what? I'm going to time it, just like I did for Steve Stenger. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. How many months are you going to stay silent? How many months are we going to watch babies die? Fathers die prematurely. You know, it's interesting, at the Pattonville School District, they have all of our warriors who have died, not because of a accident, because of cancer. Because of cancer. They all have cancer. And here's the scariest part of all of this soil. It was moved around, you know, to fill in, as fill in. It was moved around. I'm walking my dog this morning. And I'm thinking of, we just had this new street put in, and we had to extend our sidewalks, and they had to put in some fill-in. Where was that fill-in from? Was it from Coldwater Creek? Was it from Bridgeton? Do we care about the water people drink? Or maybe not, because, oh, it's, by the way, it's in North County. All lives matter, right? I think sometimes when people say all lives matter, it's a joke. I know Black Lives Matter. I know the mommies in Bridgeton, they matter. I know they do. But apparently, from the top down, our governor doesn't think that people in my district matter. I've had calls from the senator from the 8th, from the senator from Phelps, from the 9th, my favorite senator over there, Barton. I've never in 15 years have had this much stress. 15 years, ever. It's juggling three major issues at one time for one district. Three major issues: intellectual inequity, environmental inequity, economic inequity, social inequity. And this General Assembly has been silent. Again, yeah, it was great we passed Senate Bill 5. But here's what you don't know. There are three people in my district or around my district who have tried to commit suicide this summer, and I saved their lives. That's what you don't know. That's on top of the people who are depressed. That's on top of having to go through people's Facebooks and Twitter just to make sure that they're okay. I have white men who are depressed because they care about Black Lives Matter, and other white folks just, there's no problem. You know, it's interesting, and this is what I'm going to close with. It's interesting to note that the elitists in my party talk about early childhood education. The elitists, we know that's a no-brainer. Early ed is very important. But you know what? The same people who are talking about early education are the same ones who never showed up to Ferguson. Thank you, Mr. President.